You're listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you in peace from Jesus the Christ who comes to us this day in peace. A little while ago, I got to go visit my brother in Portland. Talking about that a little bit earlier with some of you. And my brother John, little brother, lives in Portland. He lives in a big Portland house with about four other people, and he has a lot of Portland friends, and had a great time with him, and had the opportunity to go and visit with some of his friends one night and meet them, and they all do kind of alternative things. My brother works for organic produce center that drops off organic local produce to your front doorstep, and they drive and deliver it in hybrid automobiles. And another one works in alternative energy. They all ride their bikes everywhere, and if you don't ride a bike, they'll judge you for it. In fact, one of the friends had a motorcycle, and you know, he revved up his motorcycle, and everyone just went, you know, just shook their heads at him. It's the type of people they are, and it's really fun, actually. I was with these friends for about an hour and a half, I think, before anybody asked. They knew I was from San Diego, but they didn't ask what I did. And about an hour and a half in to our time together, they turned to me. I was a little flattered. They said, well, so what do? Do you do alternative energy down in San Diego? I said, well, sort of. I said, I'm a Lutheran pastor. And the friend that was sitting right across the table from me was so funny. And he had this line, and I'll try to just recreate it. He looks so confused, and then he goes, I did not see that coming. And it was like he was mad at himself, like he didn't see that. You know, he said, I did not see that coming. I just think of that line, and I share that little bit with you this morning, because Jesus does something in our gospel text that we could say the same thing to. I did not see that coming. Jesus really throws us a curveball in our gospel lesson today. Put yourself in the owner's shoes. What would you do if you had someone working under you that was canceling your debts, that was cooking the books, that was overspending for their own personal gain? What would you do? You'd fire them, right? And yet Jesus tells a story where the crooked manager gets commended, where the reckless and selfish son, just one chapter earlier, the prodigal son, gets a party thrown for him. Jesus is a flip-flopper. He sucks us in. We're rooting for the owner to deal justly with that guy that cheated him, right? It's a curious story because he flips everything on us, and that scoundrel gets praised. This is a curious story about wealth and poverty. How can you be trusted, Jesus says? How can you deal with heavenly things if you can't even deal with a little dirty money, with a little street ball? Jesus, for some reason, favors the poor. He favors the dishonest, and he favors the outcast, but especially in Luke, he favors the poor. And this is just one more instance where mercy wins the day. Mercy over fairness, mercy and shrewdness wins the day. So I was trying to think up a modern-day parable to kind of match this so we can get into the story a little bit more. And we have Quinn with us today from San Diego State, sophomore there at San Diego State. And so I started thinking about San Diego State. Let's put this story in the context of San Diego State. So I didn't know who the president was there, but it's Dr. Hirschman, right? Dr. Hirschman. Let's just say he's not the owner, but let's just use the president, right? Dr. Hirschman. And there is some clever woman over in the business office who is collecting tuition from all the students. Not all the students' best friends, let's just say. And she gets caught embezzling funds, let's just say. Someone over in the business office does the tuition, collects the funds. She gets caught. She's been embezzling, stealing money from the university, from students, whatever. By the way, just as a side note, did you know that SDSU has an increasing number of homeless students? Pastor Darren Johnson's been in our midst, and he's talked about this. 400 plus students don't have a place to live. They put their money toward tuition. Their parents aren't able to help them out. And so they use the showers and the gyms and the locker rooms, and they sleep in the libraries. 400 plus students. This is an increasing issue. And this morning I looked up what exactly the tuition was at San Diego State for room and board at a state university, $26,000. $26,000 for a state school. Now, you can live at home with your parents, and maybe that saves you a little bit, but if you lived on campus, $26,000. If you're from out of state, tack another $12,000 on top of that for tuition. $26,000 for 1 year. Let's go back to our parable, modern day parable. This woman gets caught embezzling funds, this woman in the business office. She does financial aid, and she gets canned. But San Diego State makes a mistake. Unlike most businesses, they make the mistake of not making her, when she got fired, immediately collect her things and be escorted out by security. You know how that happens when someone gets fired. Immediately, they have to get their things and be out. They didn't do that. And she's clever. And before the school can catch up with her, she starts forgiving student debt. Loans, tuitions, she gets on the email, she's got the password and the ability to do it, and she just starts slashing student tuition left and right. She gives this student a 50% discount to his tuition. Whack! She cuts Quinn's student tuition down 40%. Another one, she cuts 20%. Messed up, right? But in this story, Jesus commends her for that shrewd dealing. Because she has made friends with the poor. Maybe those students, maybe not, but maybe those students will end up being rich doctors one day and take her in. That's the idea. She didn't burn bridges at the end of her job at SDSU. She built new ones. And the president, President Hirschman, finds out about this, and in Jesus' story, he commends her. He praises her for this shrewd dealing and thinks, maybe I shouldn't have fired her after all. She's pretty clever. This story ought to have us scratching our heads. It ought to have us squirming. What in the world is Jesus up to? Is he saying that we should be dishonest in our business practices? That we should steal and lie and cheat? I think that's what we want to see. I think that we all have this urge to cut corners at times. And if Jesus is telling a story here to give us license, all the better for us, right? Woo! We got from the Bible, Jesus said it would be okay. I don't think this is what Jesus is saying at all. And I don't believe Luke's first hearers thought of this either. Jesus was a master of storytelling, much better than I am. And he had the people on the edge of their seats, and they were laughing, and they were following along every word, and they were picking up the irony and the nuance in his story. If you walk away thinking Jesus is telling us from this gospel text to be dishonest in our business practices, to keep on keeping on, that's the way the world works, then I think you're missing the point entirely. That's why it was helpful, hopefully, for you to hear Eugene Peterson's translation of the gospel. Don't usually read that translation from the center aisle, but it was a different translation. He's helpful today, I think, in helping us understand, and he puts it like this. He's able to take these Greek words and put them in language that makes sense to us. He says, streetwise people are smarter in this regard than law-abiding citizens. Constantly alert, looking for angles, surviving by their wits. I want you to be smart in the same way, Jesus says. But be smart for what is right, using every adversity to stimulate you to creative survival, to concentrate your attention on the bare essentials. You could do a whole sermon just on that. To concentrate your attentions on the bare essentials so that you'll live, really live, not just complacently getting by on good behavior. Jesus is saying here, be clever and take care of the poor. Do what you can do with whatever you have. Use what you have. Use the contacts or the connections that you have to make the world better. Don't just robotically go through the motions of the straight and narrow. Don't just slip under the radar. No, take risks. Build community. Forgive debts. Call people on their stuff. Make friends with the poor. Jesus is obsessed with talking about wealth and poverty. He does it again today. He won't leave us alone. Today he says, you cannot serve God and wealth. Peterson's translation, you cannot serve God and the bank. Give it away, he says. The poor are going to have to vouch for you in the great hereafter. That's Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. The poor are going to have to vouch for you in the great hereafter. So how are we doing at taking care of the poor? If we're not squirming now, we'll be squirming next week when we hear another story about the rich man and Lazarus, where Jesus does another flip-flop. So the dishonest manager in this story today, he forgives massive amounts of debt that are owed to the former company of his, right? He forgives massive amounts of debt to the olive farmer. The olive farmer owes 100 jugs of oil. The man cuts it in half. It's just 050. To the wheat farmer, owes 100 baskets of wheat. He says, just give me 80. Do you know how that slashing of debt would have affected those farmers and their communities and their families to cut that much? Cultural anthropologists and archaeologists read this story, and they tell us that those farmers would have gone back home and thrown a huge party to celebrate with their neighbors and their community because of that kind of debt reduction. It'd be a little like if your college debt was cut in half and suddenly you only owed $50,000. $50,000 you're free of. This is our God, sisters and brothers in Christ. Slashing debt. Crazy. This is our God, bad with money, bad at business, but rich in love and mercy and forgiveness. Many say this is Jesus in the story, this dishonest manager, because he's cutting debts, forgiving our sins. The Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of Luke, we've actually sanitized that prayer a little bit with our translation, because we say, forgive us our sins or forgive us our trespasses. But Luke's translation is, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's about finances. Give forgiveness of debt a try again this week, sisters and brothers in Christ. It's not easy, but give forgiveness of debt a try again this week. Maybe it's not financial forgiveness that you're in a position to give. Maybe it is. But give forgiveness of debt a try this week. Maybe someone owes you something else. Give forgiveness a try. Maybe someone owes you an apology, and you're waiting for them to apologize. It's perfectly appropriate for them to come and apologize to you. Give forgiveness a try. Let it go. Don't let it go by going up to them and say, you know, you owe me an apology, but I'm going to go ahead and let it slide. Just let it go and forgive them. For this is what our God has done for us. Slashed our debts, forgiven our sins, and commended us, praised us, lifted us up. Our God is bad at business, but rich in love, overflowing with faithfulness and fun. Not see that coming.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.